The Pet's Life with Jim Dog, Ireland's first pet resort by Des the Vet, managed by vets, loved by pets. Daycare, vet care, premium pet food and grooming. Visit apetslife.ie.
It's amazing, as soon as we bring up the subject of itchy and scratchy, and suddenly I'm itchy and scratchy.
Sorry, Des, John, what have you done to me? That's a reflex.
That is a reflex.
Yeah.
We'll get to all that in a second. How are things?
Reflex. Great, John.
Yeah.
Not too... I was going to talk about things that hop and jump and bite on dogs and talk about things relating to spring. It doesn't feel like spring out there today, though, unfortunately. It's
no,
very cold.
No, but the weather has been... It suddenly changed. It was 14 degrees a few days ago back, and now it's back to 6, and then it was piddling rain yesterday.
Yeah, I wouldn't
well.
Like to be a farmer.
No. But, you know, when it comes to the itchy, scratchy bits that we will be talking about, I mean, I'm just thinking, as we go into the warm weather and that type of weather, even if it's naff rainy weather, it's usually warm, that changes the environments for the animals as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, this type of muggy weather that's very common for a few months of the year in Ireland, when it's warm and moist, you get a lot of infections in the feet and paws and ears of dogs and cats. And there are lots of parasites about, even if it's raining.
Okay.
In that type of ambient temperature. Temperatures between 12 and 20 degrees seem to be optimal for...
It's just they thrive in that, is it?
They do. Grass mites, ear mites, ticks, fleas. Yeah. And they're year-round nowadays. They are more active from May to September, but it is a fact that the... probably down to climate change, we have fleas and ticks... And grass mites and ear mites and almost every type of creepy crawly you can mention, they can be found on animals. They can come into vet clinics 12 months of the year with these problems nowadays, yeah.
Mm. So is this where, I know you kind of, every few weeks, we always bring up the likes of Spot On, which we'll talk about in a sec. But is it kind of more prevalent now to get that done this time of year in prep for it, or do you put it on when they actually get it?
Yeah, so we said we talk about dermatitis, you see, in itchy dogs, because the bone message, as you say there, John, is to say that treatments should be every month, once a month, for these months, for house dogs. House dogs and house cats. Now, years ago, four times a year was kind of the standard advice that vets would give. But now, because our pets live indoors, that advice has changed. We're advising that parasite treatments, be it for worms or fleas, should be given monthly for house dogs and house cats.
Okay, and that makes sense as well, because a lot of people kind of are saying to themselves, they react really when they see their animals itching and scratching. That's when they kind of go to their vet or go down to the pet shop or whatever they normally do to get these ailments to stop them actually scratching. What are we talking about and different types when it comes to the itchy dog?
Okay, so the itchy dog. Dogs can itch or scratch. When they itch or scratch, we call it a dermatitis. It's invariably a dermatitis, meaning the skin is inflamed. He's itching and scratching because there's an immune response in the skin, causing an itch, right? That itch can be caused by parasites, could be caused by an infection, could be caused by an allergy of some sort, or could be an environmental irritant. Now, there's a type of a contact itch or a contact scratch. Floor cleaners, air sprays, air fresheners. There are things that we use in the household, within the house, that can cause an itch and a scratch. So you can get these environmental and contact itches and scratches. Washing powder, that's another common one. You can get a contact itch scratch from using particular types of washing powders to wash the dog's bedding.
Okay, yeah.
So an itch and a scratch doesn't always mean, oh, I think he has fleas. No, if he's itching and scratching, it doesn't always. It might be parasites, yes. It might be an infection. It might be an allergy of some sort, or it might be an environmental irritant.
And itchy and scratchy as well, when it comes to itching and scratching, doesn't necessarily mean they're actually physically scratching. For example, if you see a cat or a dog constantly licking in certain areas, or chewing or biting or rubbing or soothing or whatever they're doing, that's also a sign of issues. Or head shaking. I was reading that, like, you see constantly, kind of, you see them flicking their paw against their rear, the head shaking an awful lot. It means there's something going on as well.
Yeah, that's a good collection of symptoms there, or clinical signs you described, John. An itchy dog won't just scratch. They could be just bothered and out of sorts. They could be licking. They could be shaking. They can be rubbing their ears. So there are a variety of different signs that we see in dogs that are itchy.
Yes, and I think that's the other one. Mary's on already. Quick flash. Thanks, Mary, for that one. And she wants to know, she notices that her dog is constantly nibbling at in between his toes. Constantly. We had a quick look, couldn't see anything. Any ideas?
That's a type of dermatitis.
I'd say so.
Yeah, that's a peripheral dermatitis. So that dog is itchy between the toes, between the feet. Mm. Reasons for that would be there's a list of things that might cause that itch, right?
Yeah.
And believe it or not, the one that springs to mind in some of the modern breeds, the one the thing that causes that type of itch between the toes, believe it or not, is very often a food allergy.
Yeah. Okay, right. Food allergy.
You wouldn't expect
okay,
that.
Okay, well, hold that thought for a second. We'll come back to that in a second. Because when I'm looking at animals and you specifically see a dog and he's constantly doing exactly what Mary's dog is doing, it's a combination of, I often see in front nipping at their own mm-hmm. In between their mm-hmm. biting mm-hmm. and then going back and licking the mm-hmm. area because they've probably bitten too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself is probably a good sign.
So the parts of the paws that are sensitive, right? The nail bed around the nail, that little skin where the nail inserts into the toe, that gets inflamed and sore. The web between the toes gets inflamed and sore. And the area under the paw, between the pads can get inflamed and sore. So licking and biting and redness and hair loss, when any of those areas in the nooks and crannies around the paw can be an indicator of an itchy paw. And why is the paw itchy? Right, it'll be either parasites, it'll be an infection, or it'll be an allergic reaction.
Mm.
And what could it be an allergic reaction to? It could be an allergic reaction to pollen, grass mites, grass seeds, right? Or, believe it or not, it could even be a food allergy.
Okay. Dervla was on. She said she has a Cocker Spaniel. He's 4 years old, originally diagnosed with dermatitis in around the years. The same thing started happening. He started getting very itchy and scratchy around... itchy around the paws area. Has the dermatitis, do you think, spread?
Yeah, so that's systemic.
Okay.
If the itch seems to travel from the ears to the feet.
Mm.
That's because of the response in this dog's blood.
Okay, right.
So you have an immune reaction.
Okay.
Coming from his immune system. So that's a systemic problem rather than a reaction to something in the environment. So that lady does need to have a veterinary consultation. That dog needs to be examined by a vet and go through the risk factors with her and take a few things off the list, rule out the usual suspects. Now, what we would do in an examination like that is we talk about the dog's environment and we talk about the dog's habitat and where he goes for walks. And we try and figure out, is there a reaction to something in the area where he goes for walks, in the area where he spends a lot of his time, or in the house. So we rule out environmental factors. Then we look at his parasite control and we look at the likelihood of parasites and check him for fleas and check him for mites, check him for ticks, all that kind of stuff. And the next stage of it then would be to look at his diet and look at risk factors within his diet.
Okay.
But that's not an ear problem per se that dog has. So you have a reaction there that started off in the ears that can be called an otitis, right? But now he has a dermatitis on his feet. That's not just a coincidence. It never is just a coincidence.
Yeah.
They're linked.
Okay.
So he has an immune system reaction in his blood, and that's caused by an allergic reaction to some external factor. And as I say, those external factors could be environmental or could be dietary or could be lifestyle.
Okay, what are the basic symptoms you're looking out for any individual animal, male or, dog or cat? So in other words, when it comes to, say, the owner, how do they know when it's just to get a powder, or how do they know when it's time to bring it to the vet?
Well, you should routinely and preventatively treat for parasites. That's the first thing, because you don't want them in the house.
Yes.
If they get into the house, then you have to treat the house as well.
Okay.
Right. And I'll explain where that comes from. So all of these parasites, you have to look at their life cycle as being like the shape of a pyramid. The flea or the tick or the little mite that's on the animal, that's only the tip of the pyramid or the tip of the iceberg. 90% of these little creepy crawlies, they live their life cycle off the animal.
Okay.
So if a dog brings in adult fleas into the house and you don't catch that in time and treat those in time, some of those fleas will breed and they'll be in nooks and crannies around the house.
Okay.
And if you have more than one animal in the house, and they have, in other words, they have more than one host, then they'll have an opportunity to breed and feed and multiply many times.
Okay.
So you'll end up with an unseen population of flea larvae and flea eggs in the house.
Okay.
If you're a multi-dog household.
Right.
So therefore, as well as treating your dogs, you're going to have to get a household spray and treat the house.
Mm.
And probably end up having to treat the house.
And if you don't, that's where the recurring problem comes
back.
Yes,
John, exactly. If you don't treat the house as well as, then the spot on treatment or the tablet treatment that the dog gets, that will only work for a few weeks.
Mm.
Because as soon as it wears off, as soon as the repellent properties, the repelling power of the tablet or of the spot on, as soon as that wears off at the 4 week mark, if there's a population of creepy crawlies, fleas in particular, in the house, they'll be back on the dog.
Okay, what's the ideal, I suppose, bedding to use for a kennel or an area within a house, if it's an indoor or outdoor or what? Because you often see people will use pillows, people will use old duvets, people just use mats. What's the ideal thing to do?
Beds or blankets that can go into a washing machine.
Right.
Now, my Bonnie has a big bed at home, which unfortunately is luxurious and it's too big to go into the washing machine by itself.
Right, okay.
So it has to be steeped in a big Belfast sink.
Okay, right.
But you're actually better off with the type of bedding that can be put into the machine by itself.
Yeah.
Use no detergent and give it a medium to hot wash.
Okay.
So that's the best way. Blankets are fine. Dog beds that are squishy, where you can take the cover off and put the insert into the washing machine. And don't use detergent on those. Put them in on their own at a medium to hot wash with no detergent.
Okay. Now that I've figured out that my dog is consistently scratching all the time, what is the best way to get the dog to stop itching? My vet once said that possibly, it goes back to what you were saying there a second ago, back, it could be diet related. Do you get bloods done or what do you do?
Yeah, bring that dog back to your vet then, listener, I'd recommend, and have a workup done to look at the factors in his diet that might be causing the allergic response. A food allergy of unknown origin can cause a thing called atopic dermatitis, which is severe and it's generalised. It's like bad eczema and it really can get in on a dog and be there for life. So it's as well to get this looked at early and get it treated early. We go through a questionnaire and we figure out what's in the diet that might be causing the itch and scratch. We know the factors that it's likely to be from experience, and then we eliminate those. We have the dog back for review after a few weeks on an elimination diet, and we take it from there.
Okay, so we've got two questions, one from Chris and one from Christina. First of all, Chris, can dog itching be behavioural?
Not really.
Not really.
There's always a reason for an explanation that's often bandied about for things that we can't find the origin of, and, oh, it's just a habit. But in my experience of, 30... a lifetime of looking at animals, abnormal behaviours are never just a habit.
Okay.
There's usually, things become a habit, they become repetitive, behaviours become set into a dog's way of behaving, but invariably an abnormal behaviour has an origin, and when the origin of that behaviour is removed, 99.9% of the time, that behaviour will stop. That abnormal behaviour will stop once the cause of it is eliminated.
Okay, now on to Christina now, this time from Manu's regular listener. Hi guys, my cat, she's had two bald patches on her back. I'm doing flea treatment at the moment. However, she is licking it all off, or licking all the antiseptic powder, etc. Any advice, as it goes from raw red to okay, but she then starts doing it all over again?
Am I right? Did she say the patches are on her cat's back?
Yes.
She shouldn't be able to lick at them.
Okay, well, maybe it back over. Okay.
But,
yeah, because they can only go as far as the neck area, really, can't they?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Now, query, is that ringworm? Would be the first question that would spring to mind with me. You've heard of ringworm, John?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Ringworm is an old-fashioned word, and it's nothing to do with worms.
That's
it's
right.
A type of dermatitis. It's called a ringworm simply because it's a ring-shaped lesion of dermatitis on either a dog or a cat or a larger animal. It's caused by a type of a fungus, which is similar to the fungus that causes athlete's foot.
Yeah.
And similar to the fungus that causes thrush and candida and these type of infections that people can get.
Okay.
So it's still relatively common in cats. It's not as common as it used to be because obviously nowadays the modern family cat isn't living on the farm and it's probably not in contact with farm animals. But whenever I see a skin lesion on a cat that's in contact with farm animals or horses, the first thing I think of is, could it be ringworm?
Okay, fair enough. Ringworm would be the first thing to check. Is there preventative stuff for ringworm? Do you go?
There is. There's a treatment for that. Go to the vet, though. I wonder, has this lady been to her vet, or is she home treating using home remedies?
Okay,
which wouldn't be advisable.
Christine, if you're listening, a follow up question would be great, so that we can get to the bottom of it, or the best advice from Des as well. 0833 97 97 97. Morning, guys. Mark and Nace. My Cavapoo is biting his feet, but when I look, I can't seem to find anything. Could there be something else, another underlining problem with him?
Yeah, it's either grass mites or a food allergy.
Okay, grass mites or a food allergy. Back down to the vet, get some bloods done or whatever the case may be. Or do they just do something else in general?
Treat for grass mites first.
Okay, treat grass mites.
Yeah.
There's something you touched on at the beginning of the conversation. We're now heading into the end of mid-April, into May, and then into June. Hay fever season. Mm. I remember reading that animals get hay fever.
They do, and I've seen a couple of cases of it already. Hay fever is the catch-all term for a reaction, a systemic reaction to pollen and grass seeds and plant seeds and all the rest of it. There are dogs that get hay fever symptoms from certain hedges. So even if your neighbours were cutting the hedge, or you've been cutting the hedge, even cutting the grass sometimes, boxers are particularly prone to these reactions around the eyes. Runny eyes, red inflamed eyes, and a runny inflamed nose. Snuffling and sneezing is part of it. You'll actually see it with your dog or cat.
Okay. A question came in regarding spraying, or I don't know what it's meant to be, spraying or spraying, but maybe if that person was there, can you just re-message us properly? We don't really understand that question. I'll come back to you as soon as you do in the meantime. Let's have a quick look. Can you go to... Oh yeah. Can you go to petrol stations these days and you can actually wash your big blankets for the bedding?
In the big washers,
yeah,
you could. It'd be a nice way of doing it. The big washers that you pay your €10.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have a good
it's
dog
probably
bed.
A good idea.
A good dog bed.
I think if it's a big dog bed, if that's a good solution.
I'd say don't use detergent though.
Yes,
that would be the big
and
thing.
And you were mentioning that earlier on. You know, isn't there such thing as kind of dog friendly shampoos and dog friendly stuff that you can get anyway?
Not really.
No.
Might be if you have a dog with dermatitis, sensitive skin, particularly a paler skin dog.
Yeah, don't bother.
Humans, then just don't use anything chlorinated or bleach based.
Okay.
So don't use washing powder.
Okay, keep your questions coming. 0833 97 97 97. Again, this is to do with a Cocker Spaniel. Cocker Spaniel has an ear infection, but subsequently she was scratching all the time. The ear infection was only diagnosed initially after we used all the various different powders and thing as well. But now that the ear infection is cleared up, she seems to be still itchy all the time.
Still itchy all the time, meaning all over her body.
Possibly, yeah.
And she's a Cocker Spaniel.
Could that be a reaction to the... Like a bit like a human taking penicillin type of thing?
Possibly, could be.
Does that happen much?
No, not really. There's a systemic reaction going on there. The one thing about ears that we've discovered in veterinary in more recent years, the ears are part of the skin. Now, ear infections used to be treated as a whole separate branch of veterinary medicine in terms of if a dog came in with the ear was treated. But nowadays we're more cognizant of the fact that the ear is part of the skin.
Yeah.
And a lot of dermatitis occurs on the peripheries. And by peripheries, I mean tail, paws, extremities, ears, nose. Okay, so nowadays we are finding more and more that ear infections are linked to something systemic, and oftentimes these dogs that get repeated ear infections, they're the ones who'll also end up with the itchy scraw, itchy paws, or the itchy tail. So in other words, invariably there's a systemic, underlying systemic cause for the recurring ear infection.
Okay. Now, we often, every few weeks, we always discuss the likes of Spot On. We mentioned that there earlier on as well. We mentioned all the various different bits and bobs that you can get. So during the summer months where it's more humid and the weather is better, and say you go off and you get all your stuff done. So from that point, from the next 2 or 3 months, what are the key recommendations you're giving to the pet owners?
Spot On's monthly are the easiest, right?
Right,
easiest way of doing it. Spot On's, your simple fipronil-based ones will just do fleas, grass mites, ticks, which is fair enough. The fipronil ones are the simplest. Use them once a month. They're a simple Spot On. Now, for the more higher risk dogs, I'd recommend the tablets. Tablets are things like Simparica and NexGard. They're combos where you have certain worms also covered along with ticks and fleas.
Yeah.
Nice big tablet, an appropriate one for the animal's weight. Again, a high-risk dog, spending a lot of time in woodland or bogland or along the canals, or a hunting dog, I'd recommend monthly. The average family pet, maybe two monthly might be adequate.
Okay, I think going back to, yeah, okay, that's...
Back to the Cocker Spaniel again, is it?
Actually, back to the reason for the weather changes quite recently is the spraying that's going on from the various different farms, and this is a knock-on effect to animals that are close to farm areas.
Could be. I know a good few farmers around Rathangan, close to where I live, have been putting out their slurry and have been spraying lately.
Yeah,
and that'll cause an upsurge in the local parasite population for the dog and cat owners in the area too. Yeah, something funny I heard on the radio this morning on the way in. Another radio station was previewing Liz Truss's biography of her famous 49 days of a Titanic-like debacle in Downing Street.
Yeah,
Liz Truss's 49 days as Prime Minister, anyway, in book form.
Yeah,
so she was having an old bitch about how, when she moved into the apartment in number 11 Downing Street, she ordered furniture. But the furniture didn't arrive in time before she had to leave.
Right.
Yeah. But not only that, while they were there, herself and the rest of the family and friends who were with her, they were itching and scratching.
Mm.
And there was an epidemic of itching and scratching, you see, and they couldn't figure out why, and they went to the doctors. They discovered there were fleas in the house.
Right.
In number 11 Downing Street.
Number 11 Downing
Street. Yeah, and they were blaming it on Boris Johnson's dogs and cats.
Ah, excellent. Very good.
Yeah, there
probably
you go.
True. There
probably
you go.
True.
Okay.
Yeah.
Des dead right about the insect seasons are extended. I'm a hiker and a hill walker, and I confirm that the midges were out and biting for the entire last 12 months. There was no time, including Christmas, that the midges were absent.
It is. That's terrible. Nothing worse.
I noticed the midges were out in the bloody rain. When did you ever see midges in the rain the other day? It was raining outside the house, and I said, I opened the door and it was right underneath the hall light, the external hall light, and I was looking at the midges, and I said, it's raining. Would you ever go away, midges? Go away. And the midges were out.
It was warm.
Yeah.
Last Wednesday night, I was on the Blue Way on the bike between Rathangan and Robertstown. Again, same thing. We were tormented with the midges. Yeah.
Yeah, class stuff.
It's hay season.
Yeah, very good.
Seasons are haywire.
Absolutely.
So a local farmer's theory on the seasons is that we have periods of high pressure lasting 6 to 8 weeks, periods of low pressure lasting 6 to 8 weeks, that the climates, the seasons are not divided into four anymore, that the climatic factor now is to do with waves or cycles of high pressure followed by low pressure.
Okay, quick question for you. Nothing to do with itchy and scratchy. It's more to do with the bottom of my dog's teeth seem to be very, very raw and red. Subsequently, she seems to be just going off her food of lately. She's a 10-year-old cockapoo.
Yeah, that's a dental issue.
Okay.
So that's toothache.
Okay.
So you have gingivitis there.
Yeah.
Which is inflammation of the gums.
Right.
And the reason the gums are inflamed is probably because there's infection in a few of the tooth roots there.
Okay, right.
We could do a whole day on dentistry, and I might one of these weeks, John, we might talk about dentistry for a whole morning.
Yeah.
Once or twice in the lifetime, all dogs need some dentistry, just like all people.
Yeah.
And it's an easy enough thing to do nowadays. We have a dental cart with the drills and the equipment on it, the same as a human dentist. And we don't do the bells and whistles and frills of human dentistry. No fillings, no fissure seals, no crowns, nothing like that. But we identify which teeth are healthy and which teeth are not healthy, and we do whatever extractions are appropriate. There's a Springer Spaniel in Kildare Vet Surgery there this morning going under dentistry, having 6 or 8 extractions of molars and canines, and he's 11 and a half years old.
How do you get after losing six teeth? Where does he get food wise then?
So we give them anti-inflammatories and antibiotics for about a week after the dentistry to help the gums heal up, and then the areas where the teeth are extracted, those gums settle down, the inflammation goes away, the cavities fill in and the gums harden up, and they're able to use whatever teeth are left to eat with, and they're much happier without the bad ones.
Okay, brilliant. Great bit of advice as well. That's a topic in itself, dentistry, which we might, as you said, take a look at over the next few weeks or so. Des is always absolutely brilliant, and you can check them out at Pets Life. Jim Dog, of course, it's with us every Tuesday, usual time, and you can check them out for more details down in Kildare. Des Groom, thank you, sir.
That's great, John.
It's a Pet's Life with Jim Dog, Ireland's first pet resort by Des the Vet. Managed by vets, loved by pets. Daycare, vet care, premium pet food and grooming. Visit at petslife.ie.